Good evening. Welcome along to the Radio City Legends. We're back. John Aldridge isn't back. Graham Sharp is here. Welcome along to the show, Sharpie. And, of course, we have the hardest working man in football media, Stephen Warnock. In case you're thinking, I saw him on the telly on Sky earlier on. Yes, you did. And he got the train especially back to be with us. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
It's tough, isn't it, when you're so popular in the media. Look, loads to talk about tonight. Maybe John Aldridge is after the Ireland job. What do you reckon? Should we start a rumour? Hold out for Ireland?
Listen, mate, he'll have a chance, won't he? Because everybody else has been mentioned. Mick McCarthy's back in the running.
I think he gets stressed too easy, doesn't he, John?
Do you think Alder would take it?
No.
I think he'd bite their hands off.
He'd love them to ask him.
I
tell you why, it's not an easy job, that one, now, is it? Maybe 15 years ago, there are quite a few Premier League players. Now, you think whoever takes that is on a little bit of a hiding to nothing. Is that unfair or not, Stephen?
Yeah, possibly. I think Mick McCarthy's the favourite because of the players in and around the Championship. I look at them players and I just think he knows who's about, what level there is, and I think it'd suit Mick McCarthy, to be honest.
Right. So you couldn't have Roy Keane, John Aldridge.
Oh, no, I don't think that. But it's a similar situation to the Scotland thing. I mean, Scotland are really struggling badly. But then they've gone back and they've gone to Alec McLeish, you know, for the second time around. You know, and it's, you would think that Ireland, you know, don't get me wrong, there won't be many, there will be a lot of applicants for it, definitely a lot of applicants for it. But it's whether the FAI want to go backwards to Mick McCarthy. And as Stephen said, he's a good choice, he's experienced at it, okay.
Do you think it's going backwards, though? Because I think he's improved as a manager.
Yeah, I think since he's left. I think going back not to Mick McCarthy specifically, but going back in time, you know, whether there is an MDLs younger out there who might have a go to it. I think they've got a big decision to make. You know, I don't think, how would the fans feel? And we always talk about it, but how would the fans feel? It'd be interesting to hear, you know, the Irish fans, do they want Mick McCarthy back?
I think he'd do a good job, wouldn't he? I think he's got loads of experience. Didn't mean to start on the Republic, but it's dead interesting. And Scotland have had a revival, haven't they? What's going
absolutely
on?
Absolutely flying.
I can't take the mic out of them anymore, can I?
Why are you surprised?
Hat-tricks and everything.
Never in doubt.
Are you going to qualify for the Euros?
Oh, of course we are. Everything's changed now.
Of course we are. Everything's rosy in the garden.
Exactly. Wait till the next game.
Right, let's get the bad news out of the way. Liverpool's under-23s got whooped last night. 7-0. Don't often see. Well, I knew you'd bring it up, so I'm bringing it up before you bring it up.
First thing you said.
Anyway, that story's done and dusted. Yeah. Let's move that to the side. Let's shift on. What's happening with the Blues at the moment? Anything going on? Richarlison, of course, midweek for Brazil.
Scored again. It's a debate whether he plays wide left or whether he plays through the centre. I've had it for numerous weeks now. The same. Personally speaking, he scored again. For Brazil, but I think he's a wide player.
I agree.
I think he's a wide player. I don't know if he's got. I know people come on and say, well, his goals speak for themselves, but I'm not sure if he's a central target.
It's a different role, isn't it? I mean, you'll know better than me, but from when I see certain players as a defender and I look at them, he's one of them. If I got him with his back to me, I'd be delighted.
Yeah.
Whereas if he's facing you up and running at you, now it's a completely different story.
Yeah, spot on, Steve. I think that's a debate at the moment. We go into the game against Cardiff. Everybody would say on paper we should win that at home. They're struggling, but they'll come. And I think Liverpool played them already.
We have, they weren't the best team.
No, but they sat behind the ball, didn't they? And just said, okay, this is, we'll go for it. But that's what you've got to expect now. So it's going to be, an early goal would be good for Everton, but I'd expect them to come and just, as you said, that Liverpool just sat behind the ball and tried to score off a set piece, long throw, whatever.
Yeah.
But we need to score the first goal, and if we do, hopefully can win out.
I think they'll be quite buoyant now off the back of a couple of wins.
Yeah.
And that's always the worry, isn't it? Is that you've got the lull of the international break and you've got your players coming back. Are they fired up, ready to go into that game? And Cardiff won't have had many players on international duty, so they'll have had a bit of a break from Neil Warnock because I've played under him, so I know what he's like. He'll have given them time off to recover, to rest, and he'll be firing them up ready for this game.
Go on, how does he fire them up? What happens with a Neil Warnock dressing room talk?
God, there's plenty of them. Do you know what?
It's a family show, by the way.
No, it is.
Because he's not exactly liked by maybe opposition team fans, is he?
Neil
Warnock's coming to town. Oh, you know, there he is. But you guys as footballers absolutely love playing for him. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah, I enjoyed my time with him. I think the way he makes you feel in and around the building, going into a game. I mean, there's little things that he does that you just think he takes pressure off players. He tries to. We played Man City away in the FA Cup, and he said we had the team meeting. He said, "I was going to show you a video, but it'll scare the life out of you lads." So he said, "Try to take the pressure off the players," and he said, "Just go out and enjoy it, have a good time, and whatever." Really? And then, listen, we got beat. I think it was 4-0 or something like that in the end. But we actually give a good account of ourselves up until obviously the class comes through later on in the game. But little things that he does, it's very, very cute and clever. Like the Cardiff boys now will have been on a terrible run, but they'll still love going into training every day for him and still love the buzz of how he gets them going and how he gets them fired up for games.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a unique style, hasn't he? It works, doesn't it?
He's old school. You know, and listen to Phil Jagielka, played for him at Sheffield United, you know, and speaks highly of him as well. So Stephen just said there as well, he knows how to get the best out of players. Maybe not the best bunch of players the Cardiff have got at this moment in time in terms of, you know, rivals, but he'll get a tune out of them. You know, and the last couple of results have been better, you know, and you can see the relief on his face when they got the results. So, yeah, I agree with Stephen. They'll come there, you know, everybody expecting them to lose. He'll be in the dressing room saying, come on, we're going to lose. Everybody expects us to lose. Let's go and prove them wrong. You know, at times, you know, what you need is a fighting team, and I think Cardiff are fighting at the moment. You know, there's without a shadow of a doubt, they're playing for them. You know, sometimes they switch off, but it's not the case. Neil Warnock's teams, they all seem to play for him, and Stephen's been in the dressing room with him, and he's told you there before, it's, you know, he lifts players. So whilst it's easy on paper, not on Saturday at 3 o'clock.
No. Right, let's hope Richarlison's firing on all cylinders after his international break. I've seen some quotes today from a couple of former players. It is Paul Merson, but Paul Merson has said he thinks that Richarlison's value has doubled since he joined Everton.
Doubled?
Doubled?
I think it's improved. I think it's increased.
It's got to have increased quite considerably, hasn't it? If you wanted to buy Richarlison now, he's got a big price tag on him, hasn't he? Particularly when you get in the Brazil side?
I wouldn't say he's far off right, Merce. I think purely because of the inflation of the market.
Yeah.
I think, but scoring the goals for Brazil, catapults you. Suddenly you get an interest from European markets, from big European clubs who are thinking, he links up well with Firmino, he links up well with Neymar, he's on the same wavelength as them players, but he has to do it over more than half a season. When Everton signed him, there was a lot of people saying, "What? That's too much." But you could see he's got ability. I think for professionals within the game, they know he had plenty of ability in getting the right manager in. And obviously, he likes playing for Marco Silva, doesn't he? Marco Silva knows how to get him playing. The second half of the season last season, sometimes when you get away from a manager that trusts, believes in you, gives you that freedom to play, suddenly you're a completely different player.
He went off the boil a little bit last year, didn't he? When Silva left, and you know, I think people are looking at him. And say, I think that's why they said, "Oh, he's not that value." You know, it's too much to pay for him. But listen, I think what he's got, I think he's a bit old-fashioned. With the fact he works his socks off as well. For a winger, he gets back. When he plays wide, he gets back and helps the fullback. As I said, through the middle, he's scoring goals at this moment in time. But what was said, that lone striker role is really, really difficult. And I'm just not sure if, and I've said before, against the Brightons of this world and hopefully the Cardiffs of this world, but when you come up against the top four or five teams, can he play that role? I'm not so sure he can.
And that's where he'll earn his corn, and that's where you'll find out how good he is. 44 million. So according to Merson, 88. It leads us sort of nicely into a Liverpool conversation. You'll have both seen the headlines about Philip Coutinho and the transfer to Barcelona and the incredible piece of business that Liverpool have done by putting a clause in the contract. Michael Edwards, the sporting director, did it for Liverpool, saying that if Barca want to sign another Liverpool player between now and 2020, they have to pay an extra £90 million. On top of the value. What do we make of this?
It's very clever, isn't it? It's good for Michael Edwards. I mean, I think the work that he's done since he's come into the club, the transfer signings, the way he's got them done quickly, the Fabinho deal in the summer, no one saw that coming. Usually, Liverpool's transfer business is touted everywhere round and everyone says, "Oh, deals are collapsing left, right and centre." He's come in, some of the work he's done has been superb. And little things like that are brilliant, and they mean so much to I mean, the fans hearing that now will be delighted, thinking, oh, this guy's really looking after our players and looking after our club in the right way.
Because there are players like Virgil van Dijk, Mo Salah, Sadio Mane that possibly will be targeted by La Liga.
But what happens if Real Madrid
come for them?
Yeah. You know, it's different.
Well, I suppose at least they've got rid of one party, haven't they? Because Barca aren't going to pay £90 million extra, are they, for a player?
No, but I'm saying, I think it was clever, but what I'm saying, it doesn't take away from the fact that if Real Madrid come knocking on the door, come out and say, right, okay.
But they're the two, aren't they? Yeah. So you're narrowing it down to 50%.
Yeah.
It's odds.
Yeah, it is.
I wouldn't be surprised if Madrid come in for Van Dijk. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
So I'd go the other way. I'd go Joe Gomez.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I think when you look at Barcelona's defence and you look at Piqué and Titi, how long's Piqué going to carry on playing now? People are questioning him at this moment in time. Gomez is excellent. Mm. He's young, athletic. He's showing his class this season. Yeah. Van Dijk, how much would he cost you and how much would Gomez cost you?
Yeah.
Go on, put a value on it.
On who?
Joe Gomez. Poof. In a modern market.
I think you're easily looking 50 million, aren't you?
50 million? Would you go with that?
What was Mina?
Yerry Mina.
36.
36, was he?
I think it was, roughly. Yeah. 30, 36.
But Gomez is very young, isn't he? And already showing how incredibly good he is. He's so fast, isn't he?
Mina's only played one game, Sharpie. Don't get carried away.
No. I'm just seeing how much he was. I don't know how much he was, but I'm just thinking the age he is.
Yeah.
A fullback.
Yeah.
Mina's probably more experienced, but listen, I don't know. You're only worth as much as somebody's going to pay for.
Going back to that Coutinho story, are you not surprised that Barcelona agreed to that? A club, did that show how desperate they were to sign Philippe Coutinho, to actually agree to something in the contract saying we'll pay another 90 million for another of your players?
I think there was the whole disturbance thing as well, wasn't there, over the summer with Coutinho. Mm. So whether that's had a bit of a part to play with it, it's a sweetener.
Right.
Maybe.
Lots more to talk about. It's the Radio City Legends, Graham Sharp and Stephen Warnock. I'm Steve Hothersall. Let's get to the phone lines, take a few of your calls, find out what's on your mind ahead of the return to Premier League action this weekend. We're going to start with Kevin in Litherland. Evening, Kev.
Good evening, boys.
Okay.
How are you
doing?
Yeah. Oh, it's great international week over again, isn't it? proper football back. Mm. Nah, it's, I said, looking forward to Saturday. I gather we've got no injuries coming back from the international break, which makes the change. The only thing is, I know we've got the result, but we do seem to struggle the first week after an international break. I think the last one, we played at Huddersfield, and I think, like, you know, I know we won 1-0, but, like, it was a poor performance. Watford, the sort of, they've really improved over the last few years from, like, sort of going to, like, relegation battles, or actually being relegated. They've gone to, like, sort of mid- the top half of the table team, you know what I mean? They're hovering under the top six there. So it is going to be a tough game on Saturday. The pressure's going to be on us because, you know, you look at City and you think, where are they going to drop points? You know, you thought, you know, the last games last weekend, you know, City, United and Everton-Chelsea. But a Liverpool fan wanting both United and Everton to win on the same day was like a new concept to me. You know what I mean? But, you know, if, you know, you look at United, yeah, Derby going to take a point. They've got a few games now after Watford. You know, we've got a real run of hard games. You got like the PSG, you got the Derby, then we got Man United coming up. You know what I mean? So, you know, we need to start making sure that we keep on City's tails because I just don't know where they're going to drop the points.
Hmm. Do you think we can win the league this year, though? Being honest, Kev.
Being honest. Ask me again round Easter.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Because if, you know, this time last year, we were, what, 16 points? This, oh, God, season's over in November again.
Exactly.
You know.
And this is the thing from a fan's point of view. Everyone looks at it and goes, we need to be keeping pace with City. Now, we're ahead of schedule compared to what we were last year. But people's ambition of where they want the team to be this season and where they want to finish has suddenly ramped up because of the start of the season. Now, if you turn around at the end of the season and said, we're 9 points behind Manchester City, we finished second again, but there's improvement in the team, you'd all turn around and go, it's actually been a good season.
Well, that'd be 16 points better than last season,
correct,
wouldn't it?
And that's the difference, isn't it? So at this moment in time, we're not playing well. I don't think we're playing well at all.
No, we're not.
But there's a difference in the team.
Yeah, we haven't sort of clicked yet. And everyone's saying, "Oh, wait until we click." But like, to be honest, we've been waiting for a large number of games now to click, and it hasn't done. Now, I think the midfield, I'm not blaming the midfield, but I think the fact that we've lost that sort of attacker midfield, the likes of Chamberlain, you know what I mean? Shaqiri's come in, and Shaqiri's been absolutely superb, and he's been in and out of the team. And, you know, he really, he's done that well. He doesn't deserve to be dropped. But away at Watford, do we want him to play, or do you want to sort of play it a bit tighter, put him Fabinho in the middle with Wijnaldum, something like that? Like, I was wondering, like, is this the time Keith Reckers, like, I was expecting Keith to come on the scene, but, you know, all guns blazing. But sort of he's been sort of, you know, not saying disappointment, but he wasn't what we expected and what we've watched last season in Germany for Red Bull.
It's a very different league, though, isn't it? That's the thing for me, is the challenge of the Bundesliga and coming in. I think it'll take him a little bit more time than people anticipated. Yeah, he's got the ability, but there's not many people who walk into the league from foreign leagues and find it easy straight away. It's such a competitive and fast league, and even the managers find it difficult. You look at Guardiola when he came in, and people said, oh, he won't do it in England. But he adapted, he took time. Jurgen Klopp's done exactly the same. He's adapted, he's changed his training, he's changed the way he approaches games. He's got massive respect for the lower league teams. He even said it in one of his interviews. He said, in the Bundesliga, he could afford to alter his team against certain teams because he knew he'd still win them games. In the Premier League, you don't get that. So,
that's it. You know, even you play the bottom. You know, to be honest, I'm more nervous playing bottom teams than I am playing like City or United or Chelsea or any one of them.
Kev, you're the only red that I've known that says they're not going to win the league. So, well, tell you the first one.
Sharpie, I'm not having that. No reds are saying they're going to win the league at the moment.
You're joking, Andy. Let me tell you. They've got as much chance of winning it now, and they talk about Man City not doing it. You do not know what's going to happen. Yeah, on paper, Man City have got the best squad and everything else, but you just do not know how it's going to go. There's still loads of time to go. Man City, can they slip up? Yeah, they can slip up. It all depends. What Liverpool have got to do is they've just got to keep winning games. I think this game at the weekend will be tough because they are a big, strong, physical side who have a right good go as well, so it'll be a tough game for Liverpool, but there's no reason why they can't. You know, obviously injuries and everything else, and you haven't started playing, according to everybody, you haven't clicked yet. So you're still in the running at this moment in time.
We're in the running. We're in the running, but, like, the thing with City, the only way they're going to sort of hold them back, I can see, is a run of bad injuries for them. But even then, they've got the quality to replace them. You know what I mean? And that's it. They've got a crazy start at 11, Andy, but they've got an even better bench, and even people who aren't on the bench.
So, lads, by the time Liverpool play Man City on the 3rd of January, will they still be within 2 points touching distance of Manchester City?
They should be.
Yeah.
I think so. I think the mentality within the squad is to win the league.
So that's quite a big thing, isn't it? Turn into the new year, still have that mentality, still being able to touch
them. Well, there's just three league games away from home. Watford away, which I think would be tough. Then you've got Burnley away, which I'd expect Liverpool to win that, and then Bournemouth away. And I know people have said Bournemouth's tricky and they're playing really well, which they are. I'd still expect Liverpool to win that.
Yeah,
you know, so there's three games kind of thing away from home. So you're thinking at the right time, going into the new year, okay, they've got the European games as well. But I think going into the new year, I think they'll be on.
I love the way you've convinced yourself that Liverpool are going to win the league.
No, I never said that.
Because it's going to soften the blow for you, isn't it, Sharpie?
No,
it is.
I can't wait to be sat here and make me extremely happy when I see you all crying again.
Kev, thank you very much indeed. Top man. Great call. Right, 4720967, 4720967, if you want to talk about Liverpool or Everton. Radio City Legends with Graham Sharp and Stephen Warnock. Radio City Legends, I'm Steve Hoversall. Graham Sharp and Stephen Warnock in the studio. Before we get back to the footy, these two, they love their golf. They're very passionate about their golf. So two golfing stories I wanted to touch on. One, I saw Stephen was present for the Hero Challenge. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, I went to watch it.
Watch the Hero Challenge. Have you seen the Hero Challenge on television?
The one in Dubai.
Yeah,
I've seen it. Yeah, watched it. Well, I never watched it all. I watched a bit of it.
The craziest looking competition you've ever seen from professional golfers.
Yeah, bizarre.
Did you have a go? Because
No. I'm not that daft. I played in the Pro-Am on the Tuesday, so that's why I was out. Well, we sort of played out there.
Who did you play with?
A Swedish guy called Alexander Bjork, who's the statistically the best iron player in the world.
Mm.
And you could tell.
Did he beat you?
He was in the team. We played as a team.
Did he beat you?
Luckily.
That's a stupid question, that.
But did you see the look?
Well, though, didn't I?
Oh, it's nice out there, isn't it? And the other one that's taking place this weekend is Tiger against Phil Mickelson. So that's tomorrow.
What about the first side bet?
The what?
The first side bet for £2 million.
What is the side bet?
Mickelson says he'll birdie the first hole.
and they're just wagering 2 million quid on that.
Yeah.
So the winner gets 9 million, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've tried to sell this as pay-per-view. So no spectators on the course whatsoever.
No.
So it's just these boys on their
own.
The money
from that bet will go to charity.
Right.
Okay. So all the side bets are charity. But he said, I'll birdie the first hole.
Wow.
For 2 million.
Yeah.
Talk about pressure. They tried to do a head-to-head today. I don't know whether you saw it. And they it's almost like asking you and Aldo to do a head-to-head. They just burst out laughing and just went, what a farce.
Well, did you see the interview with Tiger the other day? And he said, can you get in Phil's head? And he said, I've been in it for the last 22 years.
Fair enough. Yeah.
That was brilliant. Yeah.
Absolutely superb. Right, let's get back to the phone lines. 5 minutes to 7 o'clock, Radio City Legends. We're going to focus on Everton now. I think we've got Jimmy who's next up. Evening, Jim.
All right, lads, how you doing?
Hey, Jimmy.
Before I make a point about Everton, Graeme, is there any chance of talking about something that happened last week?
Go on.
I don't know if you read it, Graeme, but it's about this Richard Scudamore getting this £5 million payoff.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Found it disgraceful, Graeme. Honestly, God, I couldn't believe it when I was reading it.
I don't know what the outcome was, because I know there was a few clubs that said they weren't going to get it, so I don't know what the actual outcome's been, whether... I think that the majority have said no. I don't know, Stephen.
I've not seen much on it, to be honest. I couldn't comment.
I think it's still the case that he is going to get it at the moment. So it's £250,000 from each Premier League club. It was the idea of Bruce Buck, the Chelsea chairman, who sort of oversees all the clubs. If that money was coming from the owners of the clubs, so say it was John W. Henry or Bill Kenwright, if it was there from their pocket, would it matter as much?
But the thing is, well, he was getting paid enough doing the job he was doing. Was there any need? I know people have said how well he's done in his job.
Graeme, he was there for 20 years. He got £10 million.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
And, plus he's going to get this unbelievable pension and all this.
Mm.
What happened to Marks and Spencer's vouchers, when you leave a job?
Yeah.
Disgraceful. People struggling. You hear all this thing about universal credit and all that. And this clown of a Chelsea chairman asking for £250,000 as a going away gift.
Yeah.
No, that's some job. No wonder people give football down the banks these days and hear stories like that.
Yeah. And actually, that
just don't do it.
That cash should just go to grassroots football, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, that's an issue we're having at the moment is trying to find funds for it. But I think, like you're talking there about Mickelson and Tiger Woods, and you're saying the £2 million's going to charity. Well, surely this should be put back into the grassroots side of it. That's a great point that you make. Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Jimmy, what about Everton?
Yeah, it's about Saturday. Who do you think you'll go with, Graham? Do you think you'll go for the at the back? Or?
Jimmy, to be fair, I honestly don't know. I think
I don't want to, Graham. I'm not a fan of the at the back.
Mm.
And you're on to Cardiff.
Yeah.
But one of them's going to miss out. And the way Zouma and Keane are being playing, they're getting better and better every game, Graeme.
Yeah.
And Meany came in and had a great game last week.
Mm. My only worry would be if they play three at the back, they play Meany on the left, I'd imagine. They play Zouma in the middle and Michael Keane possibly on the right. I just think at times you can get isolated, as one of the centre-backs. And,
Keane look comfortable.
Yeah, in a four, we've looked quite comfortable and from an attacking threat as well. We've looked, so it'd be big of him to change it just to accommodate somebody. But he's got a problem there.
Yeah.
Do you think he's only doing this, if he goes three at the back, as a thing for, the derbies the week after, in it? The next game after this, he's trying it.
Yeah, I think he done it. He done it at Chelsea, Jim. I mean, he brought on Jags near the end and played three centre backs just to stifle things. But sometimes when you do that, you're inviting pressure on. You're putting another defender on.
I thought that myself, Graeme. Yeah. In the Chelsea game, I thought the game was there for the taking. And once we went to three at the back, that was our way of saying, we'll take the point.
Yeah.
I thought we could have snatched it.
I just think at home on Saturday, I think I would be surprised if he went three centre backs.
Yeah.
Listen, it might surprise us all and change it, but I think what we've seen so far has been decent. Do we need to change it against Cardiff? I'm not sure.
I'm not a fan of the three at the back of being a defender.
Mm.
And I think when Everton signed Zouma, I raised my eyebrows thinking he was poor last year, but he played in a three at Stoke.
Yeah.
And now he's back in a two with that protection alongside him of his fullback and the other centre half not coming out to the wide areas like you say and getting exposed. I think he looks a completely different player, and
absolutely,
you can see he's full of confidence again.
But the thing with Zuma, Steve, he's not our player. He's only on loan, so I think he's going to make a decision quick.
If
he's going to stick with two at the back.
But then he might be looking at getting a contract at the end of the season.
So maybe Mina and Keane in the future.
He might not have a choice.
Yeah.
Because if Chelsea keep on loaning him out, he's got to sign somewhere at the end. And if Everton have a good season and keep progressing, listen, Mashiri's a man who wants to put his hand in his pocket and he wants to build this club up. Mm. It's a club with ambition. If you're an ambitious player, I think Everton's a great club to be at this moment in time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. As I said, as you get a decision to make, Jimmy, we'll wait and see what happens. But I would be surprised.
Nice one, Jimmy.
What would you go for?
I would stick with what we had. I think the only one that you might look at is obviously if everybody's fit and Sigurdsson, you know, pulled out the Everton squad with an ankle injury. Hopefully, he'll be fit. But I think if he was going to make a change, I think it may well be on the left. You know, with the boy Bernard. Who struggled a little bit at Chelsea last week and came off. Lookman came on and did well. Obviously, he could put him in there, or does he, put Richarlison out left and bring in maybe Tosin or Calvert-Lewin? So he's got options now, which is a good thing. So, listen, we're second-guessing what he's thinking and what he's going to do, but I think we'll see a flat four. A back four.
Jimmy, thank you very much indeed. We've got to move on. Some great stuff there. Let's get on to Peter, also an Evertonian. Welcome to the Radio City Legends, Peter.
Oh, mate, okay.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
Hi, Graham. Hi, we should touch on that grassroots thing you talk about then, but that Richard Scudamore.
Yeah.
I think if he had any sort of loyalty to like the grassroots coming through, he's going to receive these payments no matter what.
Mm.
He should just put a back straight in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or,
no, he's going to receive $250,000. He's getting like £5 million bonus payment for just doing his job. And as the last man said there, he's going to receive a nice pension and a £5 million dropsy.
Frightening.
This kid there, you know, I've got a team myself, and this kid there who was struggling, and pitches are terrible and facilities are terrible.
I think it's come up, you know, and everybody has jumped on it, and quite rightly so. And the fact that, you know, grassroots, we've talked about it many times here on the show about how you know the state of the facilities and everything else. But when you look at the bigger picture, football clubs in general can help.
I was just about to say
the football clubs in general, the money they're generating and getting from TV deals and everything else, it wouldn't take much for them to put their hand in their pocket.
Well, there should be a percentage taken out the TV money now that is, say, 5% of the money, and it's got to be put back into the community of the area where the club is benefiting.
Yes,
the money is the staff, isn't it, what they're receiving? But as you say, we as like local clubs and local grassroots teams receive next to nothing of anyone.
You see, there isn't this massive pressure on the Premier League to do just that.
No, yet, there isn't. No, and there should be.
So who's going to lead that? I mean, where's that going to come from? At the moment, you hear the likes of Richard Scudamore or Gordon Taylor getting absolutely lambasted for their salaries, their pensions and everything else. But there's a much bigger thing at play here, isn't there?
There is. And there's been talk about Wembley being sold and the money being put back into grassroots football. And Gary Neville's tried to talk about it quite a lot openly and tried to push it a little bit. But he needs other people to help him along. Gary Neville's a voice in the industry, and he's a good voice, but he's not going to make something happen. He hasn't got that authority to go out and say, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to make happen. He can voice his opinion and people can pick up on it, but that's as far as he can go.
Peter, are you involved in grassroots, Peter?
Yeah, I run a local team, under 11 team, so, you know, it's lucky enough we have a couple of good sponsors in our team, so, you know, we touch lucky, but other teams, you know, you see them on social media looking for sponsors to buy a kit for the kids, because kids are tearing up in, you know, an Everton top and Liverpool top, and you know, it's not right. You just want to play football, but you want to do it properly.
Go on, give your team a shout. What's their name?
Mags Red Bulls. We are under 11.
Mags Red Bulls.
Red Bulls.
Yeah, Mags Red Bulls.
Oh, is it Red Bulls for the parents?
Sponsored by Red Bull. Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, they're all right. They're calm.
Peter, thank you very much indeed. Good points made. It's 5 minutes past 7 o'clock. It's the Radio City Legends. You want to comment on anything you've heard? 01514720967. We'll do our quiz, Pens, next. It's 7:10. Let's do Pens, our quiz, with Graham Sharp. And, of course, Stephen Warnock as well.
I'm worried.
About what?
This could be their best chance.
You claim you're Stephen's intelligent and John isn't.
Yeah.
I have heard Aldo, but I'm not saying anything yet.
I'm getting him on the phone. The problem with Aldo, Stephen, is he gets to the showdown, the final penalty, and then he blows it in miraculous fashion.
I think it's 10-3 at the moment.
Yeah.
put pressure on Elliot.
Something back on the board. Right, here we go. Should we start with Stephen then?
Yeah, go on.
Go on, choose a question, Stephen.
1 to 6.
4.
Number 4. Name the song and the artist. So name the song and the artist.
Aldo's good at these.
Is he?
No. Right, one more time. Here we go. Name the song and the artist. Well, it's from your generation, Sharpie, isn't it? Do you want to hit one more time or not?
I'm not good with music.
You won't even get close. Here we go. Sharpie, can you get that?
Rolling Stones, Brown Sugar.
It is absolutely spot on.
Know the song, but I don't know that part.
Miss this! No, well, he got it wrong anyway. Sharpie, what do you want to go
number
for?
Number 6, please.
Number 6. Here we go. Name this mystery voice. Oh, you're going to get this. Easy peasy.
No.
Is an opportunity for...
You ready? One more time.
Oh, you go on.
Is an opportunity.
I think
one
that's...
more time. Or do you want
go on one more time.
Is an opportunity.
Right.
I think that's. I think it's the guy we were talking about. Is it Mickelson?
Yes.
That is correct. Well done. One on the board for the Blues, Stephen.
I wish I'd have picked that one. Number 1.
Right, last time Liverpool went to Vicarage Road, the score was 3-3. This is hard, but you're a very intelligent man, Stephen. Name the 3 Watford scorers. So who were the Watford scorers on that day? Producer Christian, that is absolutely horrible. Were you hoping Sharpie might pick this question up? Go on, name the 3 Watford scorers.
3 Watford scorers.
Jeez. I'll have to go. Troy Deeney's got to be one. Mm-hmm. Give me that. No.
Troy Deeney?
It is one of those where you don't want to watch schoolboy football.
It's a horrible
question.
That
is a bad question.
Cathcart?
Okaka?
Okaka?
Decore? And Britos?
That's tough.
He could have asked for the Liverpool
he's
score.
He's walked out the room. He's kind of walked out because he knows.
That's a bit tough, that. I'd have to admit that.
All right.
Okay, I'll go 3.
Number 3. Yakubu is celebrating a special day today. It's his birthday. He's the man.
Ask me his age.
He's the man who no one can pin an age on.
Exactly.
So tell me, what is Yakubu's age?
How do we know it's right?
What are you claiming, Sharpie?
Yak, I saw him last week.
Do you know what? About 10 years ago, no one could have. Everyone would say, what's his age? He's one of those, isn't he? Very hard to put a. Go on, what do we think? I'm not even giving you
I might do a disservice here.
Do you think he's in his 30s or his 40s?
Or his 50s?
I was thinking along 62.
Yakubu is?
I would say he's. 40. 40.
Absolutely no idea.
Stephen, what do you reckon?
I'd have gone 38.
No. 36? He's still.
No chance!
He's still only 36 years old, is the Yak.
Wow.
Yeah, that is correct. Don't look at me like that. It's on Wikipedia 36. And everything.
Oh, that's not.
Right, there we go. So that's 30, one wrong for you.
His Wikipedia shirt page is 10 years old, though. It hasn't been updated.
Stephen, go on.
Right, I'll have to go 5.
Number 5. What album?
Oh, God.
He's got the music questions. He doesn't like these. What album is 50 years old today?
Sharpie knows it.
It's a very famous album. Do you know it? No? What album is 50 years old today? And it is a Beatles album.
Well, I'll have to go Sergeant Pepper then.
That's what I
Sergeant Pepper?
Absolutely no idea.
The White Album. Stephen, that's three missed penalties. Two of them were music questions.
Does that mean I've won?
Sharpie's got bragging rights, but go on, we'll give you the final question. James Forrest scored a hat-trick for Scotland this week against Israel. Who was the last player to score three for Scotland on international duty?
Oh, my goodness.
Come on, you're always going on to me about Scotland and how great they are and these strikers. Go on, Stephen. If you get this, I'll take it to the tie-break, Stephen.
I would probably go back as far as the 70s and Colin Sean scored four against Cyprus, but I'm going to go present day, Charlie Nicholas. Frank McAvaney.
No. Stephen.
I'd have gone Lee
Griffiths. 2 years ago.
Lee Griffiths.
Oh, good shoot.
Robert Snodgrass.
No, I wouldn't go that either.
5-1 win against Malta. No.
One for us, 11. I'd have to see the difference of Christian. Some of those were bad. I would have to say, not only for Stephen's when his first goes at this, but the Watford scorers, that was terrible. That was terrible.
Have a word with the producer.
That was terrible.
I think there should be an independent inquiry into our producer. Much as the PFA are going to suffer at the moment, before we get to our next caller, just give us your thoughts on what's happening with Gordon Taylor. You both must have had some involvement with him. He's not all bad. I know he's done great things. There seems to be this massive question mark next to him, as well as Richard Scudamore at the moment. But what's your thoughts about the union chief being there 37 years and this sort of public attempt to oust him?
I think it's the feeling's been there for a long, long time. And somebody's come out now and said, right, OK, they're not happy. I think the interesting thing is he's been there for 37 years, did you say?
Yeah, 37.
And he hasn't been challenged. You know, I think is a remarkable thing. Listen, you can look round and see what they've got in the bank and allow repainting and all this kind of thing. But I think when you go against it a little bit is when you think of the problems that the older footballers are having with dementia and everything else. And I've spoken to people who have tried to deal with the PFA in certain instances, and the feedback's not good.
No.
The feedback's not good you're getting from ex-players.
Across the board?
Well, you know, some of the older players, obviously, kind of thing. Some of the feedback I'm getting, I think Ken McNaught, who used to play for Everton and Aston Villa, was in the papers today talking about he had problems with his heart and how he never really got any support from the PFA. So I think for the size of the organisation, it should be structured better than what it is.
Mm. Right. What about yourself?
I agree. I think I was speaking about it today because I was asked the same question. And the thing for me was, I've just retired now. And the transition coming out of retirement into things. Now, it's not the same for every single player. They don't walk into media or walk into another job, a coaching job. There's like a cooling off period. There was no phone call. There was no advice. There was no what's your plans, what's your career goals and sort of. Now, I think that should be coming in around 32, 30 onwards if you really think about it. What are you thinking that you want to get into?
You're a privileged footballer as well, aren't you? I mean, there's people far lower down the leagues who perhaps haven't had the privileged environment that you've been in as well, Stephen.
Yeah, but it affects us all in the same way.
You're right.
We're used to a certain schedule. You're used to a certain routine. Without sounding daft, and we're used to a pay packet at the end of the month. Suddenly that stops. You're 35 or 36 and you're thinking, where do I go from here now? What's my route? What are my options? Now, if at 30 you look at it and you say, we've got these options for you, these will create or could potentially create a career for you, then as soon as you come out of football, your transition is smooth going forward and to creating a new life for yourself.
I think spot on. I think in the past it was usually talked about as, or they'll help you if you need an operation, or you do this.
Yeah.
But they obviously don't either. And I think Stephen's spot on. I think for him to be in charge for so long and not have a structure underneath him that deals with that, you know, with deals with the problems that footballers will have when they give up football. And it seems to be, thanks very much for what you've done. Like, listen, footballers pay, I don't even know, Stephen, you'll be able to tell me, is it 30, 40 quid a month or whatever it might be to the PFA? I don't know. They pay it for the sake of paying it.
Yeah.
But I don't think they get anything from it. I don't think there's any structure in the PFA that tells you. And listen, that's not completely true because you can do financial planning and everything else. They try and help your pensions. Or they helped out with me. But I just still think that for such a big structure and having so many members, to get away with it 37 years and be unchallenged, I don't think that would happen.
It just hasn't moved with the times.
Yeah.
It hasn't evolved. It hasn't. Sort of like Sharpie said before, no one's questioned him, but whether it needs someone to come in, because listen, he knows the PFA inside out. So whether he actually needs removing from it is a different story. Mm. It's whether you bring someone in alongside him with new ideas, ideas of how to bring it up to speed and to really help the players.
It's a fascinating conversation. It's going to go on for several weeks, I would have thought. Right, 20 past seven, we'll take another caller on the Radio City Legends. Owen's a Liverpool fan. Sorry to keep you waiting, Owen.
No worries. No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. What's in your mind tonight? Are you looking ahead to the weekend?
Oh, my word. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm not an international football fan, I have to say. For me, this international break has been dragging like a zombie's foot. But I can't wait for Watford. No, I can't wait for Watford. I'm absolutely excited about it. But I'm a little bit concerned. It's a hell of a week coming up. You know, Watford, then PSG, then the derby. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were about, this particular Watford game, you know, one game at a time and all that. Because for me, Watford are a very dangerous team. They're a team that are quietly full of quality. Players like Doucouré, Chalobah, Pereira, who's one of my favourites, although he had to come back from Argentina, 15-hour flight or something. But then, you know, they've got players like André Gray, Deo Lefeu. The list goes on and on and on of actually really decent players. And I was wondering how you thought we should, approach this game. See, for me, I think it'd be a good idea to sort of, you know, make sure they can't outnumber us in midfield with all their good midfielders.
What do you reckon, Stephen?
Yeah, I just think...
What lineup would you use? See, you mentioned... we had a caller before saying Shaqiri probably won't get a game in this one, will he? He's not going to be on Jürgen's starting 11.
Yeah, I think... I think there's a lot of questions from Liverpool fans as to, well, not questions, but calling from him to start the game. He's provided an assist in a lot of the games he's played and scored goals. He is a big-time player, a player who can play at the highest level. We know that. But I think the Liverpool players will be looking forward to this week. I think they'll be quietly confident going into all the games that if they come out of this period now on top, beating Watford, beating Paris Saint-Germain and beating Everton, that gears them up for a huge December and going into January, really fighting on all fronts as to the Champions League and the league going forward.
Well, how much respect should Liverpool pay them at the same time? Obviously, it's brilliant if we're feeling confident, feeling good of, you know, getting back together and thinking we could win these games. But, I mean, at the same time, we can't be overconfident. That's got to be a difficult balance when you're a professional, no?
Yeah, but that's the quality of the players, and that's what they've showed already this season. They've played the likes of Brighton, Fulham, Huddersfield, and they've come out on top in them games. You have to show a professional side. You have to respect every single team that is within the Premier League because they're there for a reason. They've shown that they should be there. And Watford have shown already this season with the results that they've had at home against the likes of Tottenham, where they were struggling in the first half, but then second half completely overpowered them, beat Manchester United at home. So we know they're more than capable. And that's where the respect comes into it when they play them type of teams.
You're spot on. The manager won't underestimate Watford. You know, he'd be guiding the players all through the training this week, Owen, and just say, listen, this is a tough game. They know it's a tough game. They're not daft. But listen, it's a difficult one to call. It's a really difficult one to call. You'd expect Liverpool to win, but it is a tough place to go, and it will be a big test for them.
Oh, nice one. Thank you. We're running out of time. Let's just squeeze a quick blue caller in at the very end. We've got Dave in West Derby. Evening, Dave.
Evening, boys. How are you? All right.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, I'm just touching on, obviously, the international break coming at a time when, obviously, I've gained a bit of momentum and started getting going again. I'm just thinking, is that going to knock us off course a little bit, or do you think it's let's go again and carry it on from where we left off against Cardiff on Saturday?
Dave, I just think they just carry on. You know, obviously, some of the players have been away, some of them not, some have been, you know, nursing injuries. It'll be interesting to see what squad he's got available. You know, if he's got a full squad, I don't think it should be a problem. I think we should just roll on. I think the performances have been good. I think, we're playing attacking football, something we haven't seen for about 18 months to 2 years. So I think it's all positive. The international breaks come in and they're a bit of a pain in the neck at times. But listen, I think the players, you know, they're at a good spot at this moment in time. Their confidence is up. They'll want to get back at Goodison and get 3 points under the belt, but it won't be easy. As we talk about Liverpool going to Watford, you know, Cardiff coming will make it difficult for us, but I think we should have enough.
Think it's too early to look at the derby, or do you think just deal with Cardiff?
No, deal with Cardiff, Dave. That's the most important game. You know, anything can happen. You know, the derby game is something, it's, you know, in a couple of weeks away, but we've got to make sure that we concentrate in Cardiff, get 3 points and go into the derby on a good run of form.
Yeah, I'm not one of these who thinks when you're looking forward to a derby, oh, rest players for this game.
No.
You've got a week. So if you win that game against Cardiff and you win it comprehensively, your approach going into that derby full of confidence is completely different. And you will get, I mean, talking about the international break there, there will be part of Marco Silva that will be actually thinking it's come at a good time because, like you say, you've got a few injuries, you've given them an extra couple of weeks to get back, then you've got a game before the derby to really get them going again. It isn't a great situation, the international break, but sometimes it can help get your players fitter.
Dave, thank you very much. Just very quickly, how far ahead did you look to the derby? You know, was it a couple of weeks away you were thinking,
as soon as the fixtures came out?
Yeah, I know, but you know, when you get closer and you're thinking there's games that are in the way.
No.
I know you're not allowed to do that, but
it's after that game.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
After the game before the week before or the couple of days before, and then you start getting the texts off your mates, who are the Blues? Leave me alone.
It's true. It's true. Everybody wants a ticket.
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants a ticket.
Well, you've got loads of tickets. You should be able to help your mates out.
Haven't got any.
Thank you very much indeed. Stephen, thank you. Legends back on Monday.